from San Diego, California, it's the Frugal Life Podcast with your host, Ricky Hershey.
For most people, your primary source of income will be your job. As much as I love to talk about passive income and investing, your day-to-day cash flow, at least at the start, will probably come from a job. And I think this may not be super popular with a lot of the folks on Money Twitter. If you don't go to Money Twitter, it's just, I don't know, the part of Twitter where they talk about money. And lots of people sell books on Gumtree that promise you can make tons of money doing stuff online.
Editing Ricky here. The website is actually called Gumroad, not Gumtree. Okay, back to the show.
And you know, I have a book that's kind of like that, except it only promises that you can make a very small amount of money by doing stuff online. Anyways, let's get back on topic and talk about my tips for getting a job. First, things take time. It might take longer than you anticipate to find a new job. Ideally, when you are looking for a new job, you will already have a job. And yeah, I kind of get the problem in that the tip for having a job is the best way to get a job is kind of not super helpful. But if you are in school or learning and close to graduating, trying to get something lined up in advance is a good idea. When I went to college, I went to a high-ranked school in my major, and the recruiters very actively wanted us to sign on with their firms. And so it was in that school setting that I had lots of opportunities to find a new job. So if you are close to graduation, I say get into gear now and line something up for when you graduate. Having a job also puts you in the best negotiation position. If the offer isn't high enough, you can just walk away. You already have a job. And your starting salary is really quite important, as everything will just grow from there. The higher you start, the more raises will help your salary increase even more. Raises have a compounding effect on your salary, so the higher the base is, the more it compounds. So that early negotiation as you accept a new job is very important, and if you have a job, you won't be nearly as afraid of losing the opportunity. So that's another tip in and of itself. When you get a job offer, make sure you negotiate the salary. Now, it's possible in some industries you don't really negotiate the salary. Like my first job in Big Four accounting, you don't really negotiate your salary, you kind of just accept it. Which is a little sad, but that's okay. And I'm pretty sure I asked about it in either case, which didn't hurt me.
And for just a little clarification, that is the starting salary of a college graduate that you don't negotiate in Big Four accounting. I'm pretty sure in any other scenario, you do have some negotiation power.
Another thing you might consider is working with a recruiter. Now, you have to be aware of the incentives of a recruiter. They want to place you. So if there are two jobs you're considering, and one where they'll get paid for their placement and another where they do not, they may steer you towards the one where they get paid. At the same time, though, that wasn't my professional experience. I worked with two recruiters the most recent time I was looking for a job. They were very helpful and very genuine and did seem to have my best interests in mind. In the end, the role I accepted was one I found on my own, which I'm sure was a bit of a bummer for them. But at the same time, they were very gracious and friendly about it. And overall, I would definitely work with them again. They also were a big help during the interview prep. You know, I'm a pretty confident guy, but having interview prep helped me to prepare, like to help mold my answers into more what interviewers were looking for. You know, when you're looking for a job, there's a bit of a lingo. For example, when someone asks you to tell you about yourself, they aren't looking for your life story. They're trying to gauge your fit at the job. So when a question is asked, it's good to know what is the interviewer really looking for. And after having written this episode, I've actually conducted interviews myself, which is exciting in a way. But yeah, one thing I would consider is practicing your stories a little bit. There are some basic behavioral questions that people are probably going to ask you in an interview, and in response, you are going to tell some stories about yourself, like a time you were in a difficult situation. And what the interviewer wants from you is not for you to just tell them about a time you were in a difficult situation. They are looking for you to provide a solution, that you were in a difficult situation, that you found a solution to the situation, and what happened as a result of that. And one tool that might help you do this is using the STAR method. Basically, STAR stands for Situation, Task, Action, Result. So, like I was describing, you talk about a situation, you talk about the task, which is what you needed to achieve, you talk about the actions you took to change the situation, and then the result of your actions. If you tell a story about a difficult situation, and the resolution of the story is not particularly good, like you had two difficult tests, and you got C's on both of them, I would say, try to find a better story, right? Like, that's an okay outcome, but in the interview, you have the chance to present your best self, not just your mediocre self. So, you know, paint yourself in a good light. Anyways, I don't want this episode to be all about interview tips, although the interview is an important part of finding a job. Just as important as what you say in the interview is how you say it and how you present yourself. Be confident in the interview. Don't be robotic. I'm typically a bit animated, and perhaps too much so. You know, even as I'm talking right now, I'm waving my hands around and there's nobody here to see it. Be a human. I think people will often accept someone who is willing to learn and who is personable than someone who is more technical but comes across as standoffish. It all depends, though. Most importantly, just be comfortable and be yourself. For one last tip, as you're looking for a job, consider where your job is going to look for candidates. For professional office jobs, at least in my experience, LinkedIn has been the best place to go to look for jobs. If you are looking for some other type of job, though, there may be a niche site for you to look for jobs. And actually, while I was at school, there were also resources for finding jobs that were linked to my school. And that was a great place as well. Although, almost always, the best place to find a job is by having a connection, by knowing someone. So don't discount the value of good old-fashioned networking and, you know, being a part of a community and whatnot. So if you are on the hunt for a job, I wish you good luck. Oh, and I'm not an expert by any means, but if you did want Mr. Frug to look over your resume, feel free to email it to me. My email's ricky@thefruglife.com. And yeah, I'd be happy to look it over for you and tell you what I think, for what it's worth, that is. All right, well, thank you for listening to today's episode of The Frug Life. I hope you enjoyed. Have a great week, and as always, stay frugal.